Oversay said, "But why? Why allow a strange group into their habitat? A group whose existence had been concealed from them?"
"You'd do it," I said. I should keep my mouth shut, keeping them thinking of me as their normal, obedient sec unit, stop reminding them what I was. But I wanted them to be careful. If a strange survey group landed here, all friendly, saying they had just arrived and, oh, we've had an equipment failure or our med system's down and we need help, you would let them in. Even if I told you not to, that it was against company safety protocol, you'd do it. Not that I'm bitter or anything. A lot of the company's rules are stupid or just there to increase profit, but some of them are there for a good reason. Not letting strangers into your habitat is one of them. Arata and Rati exchanged a wry look. Oversay conceded,
"We might, yes."
Mensa had been quiet, listening to us. She said,
"I think it was easier than that. I think they said they were us."
It was so simple. I turned around and looked directly at her. Her brow was furrowed in thought. She said,
"So they land, say they're us, that they need help. If they have access to our hub system, listening to our comm would be easy."
I said, "When they come here, they won't do that." It all depended on what this other survey group had, whether they had come prepared to get rid of rival survey teams or had decided on it after they got here. They could have armed air vehicles, combat sec units, armed drones. I pulled a few examples from the database and sent them into the feed for the humans to see. Med Systems feed informed me that Rati, Oversay, and Arata's heart rates had just accelerated. Mensa's hadn't, because she had already thought of all this. It was why she had sent Pin Lee and Garothan to shut off hub system. Nervously, Rati said,
"What do we do when they come here?"
I said, "Be somewhere else." It may seem weird that Mensa was the only human to think of abandoning the habitat while we waited for the beacon to bring help. But as I said before, these weren't intrepid galactic explorers. They were people who had been doing a job and suddenly found themselves in a terrible situation. And it had been hammered into them from the pre-trip orientation to the waivers they had to sign for the company, to the survey packages with all the hazard information, to their on-site briefing by their sec unit that this was an unknown, potentially dangerous region on a mostly unsurveyed planet. They weren't supposed to leave the habitat without security precautions, and we didn't even do overnight assessment trips. The idea that they might have to stuff both hoppers full of emergency supplies and run for it, and that that would be safer than their habitat, was hard to grasp. But when Pin Lee and Garothan shut down hub system and Valescu unpacked the satellite download that was meant for me, they grasped it pretty quick. Bharadwaj outlined it for us on the comm while I was getting my last extra suit skin and my armor back on.
"It was meant to take control of sec unit, and the instructions were very specific," she finished. "Once sec unit was under control, it would give them access to med system and sec system."
I got my helmet on and opaqued it. The relief was intense, about even with finding out that the combat override module had been removed. "I love you, armor, and I'm never leaving you again." Mensa clicked onto the comm.
"Pin Lee, what about the beacon?"
"I got a go signal when I initiated launch."
Pin Lee sounded even more exasperated than usual.
"But with hub systems shut down, I can't get any confirmation."
I told them over the feed that I could dispatch a drone to check on it. A good beacon launch was pretty important right now. Mensa gave me the go-ahead, and I forwarded the order to one of my drones. Our beacon was a few kilos away from our habitat site for safety, but I thought we should have been able to hear it launch. Maybe not. I'd never had to launch one before. Mensa had already got the humans organized and moving, and as soon as I had my weapons and spare drones loaded, I grabbed a couple of crates. I kept catching little fragments of conversation over the security cameras.
"You have to think of it as a person," Pin Lee said to Garothan.
"It is a person," Arata insisted.
Rati and Arata sprinted past me carrying medical supplies and spare power cells. I had extended our drone perimeter as far as it could go. We didn't know that whoever hit Deltfall would show up at any second, but it was a strong possibility. Garothan had come out to check the Big Hopper and the Little Hopper's systems to make sure no one other than us had access and that Hub System hadn't messed with their code. I kept an eye on him through one of the drones. He kept looking at me, or trying not to look at me, which was worse. I didn't need the distraction right now. When the next attack came, it was going to be fast. "I do think of it as a person," Garothan said. "An angry, heavily armed person who has no reason to trust us."
"Then stop being mean to it," Rati told him. "That might help."
They know their sec units successfully gave our sec unit the combat module, Mensa was saying over the comm. "And we have to assume they received enough information from Hub System to know we removed it. But they don't know that we've theorized their existence. When SecUnit cut off Hub System's access, we were still assuming this was sabotage from the company. They won't realize we know they're coming. Which is why we had to keep moving." Rati and Arata stopped to answer a question about the medical equipment power cells, and I shooed them back to the habitat for the next load. The problem I was going to have is that the way murderbots fight is we throw ourselves at the target and try to kill the shit out of it, knowing that 90% of our bodies can be regrown or replaced in a cubicle. So finesse is not required. When we left the habitat, I wouldn't have access to the cubicle. Even if we knew how to take it apart, which we didn't, it was too big to fit in the hopper and required too much power. And they might have actual combat bots rather than security bots like me, in which case our only chance was going to be keeping away from them until the pickup transport arrived, if the other survey group hadn't bribed somebody in the company to delay it. I hadn't mentioned that possibility yet. We had everything almost loaded when Pinley said on the comm,
"I found it. They had an access code buried in Hub System. It wasn't sending them our audio or visual data or allowing them to see our feed, but it was receiving commands periodically. That's how it removed information from our info and map package, how it sent the command to the Little Hopper's autopilot to fail."
Garothan added, "Both the hoppers are clear now, and I've initiated the pre-flight checks." Mensa was saying something, but I had just gotten an alert from Sec System. A drone was sending me an emergency signal. A second later, I got the drone's visual of the field where our beacon was installed. The tripod launching column was on its side, pieces of the capsule scattered around. I pushed it out into the general feed, and the humans went quiet. In a little voice, Rati said,
"Shit."
"Keep moving," Mensa said over the comm, her voice harsh. With Hub System down, we didn't have any scanners up, but I had widened the perimeter as far as it would go, and Sec System had just lost contact with one of the drones to the far south. I tossed the last crate into the cargo hold, gave the drones their orders, and yelled over the comm, "They're coming! We need to get in the air, now!" It was unexpectedly stressful, pacing back and forth in front of the hoppers waiting for my humans. Valescu came out with Bharadwaj, helping her over the sandy ground. Then Oversay and Arata, bags slung over their shoulders, yelling at Rati behind them to keep up. Garothan was already in the Big Hopper, and Mensa and Pinli came last. They split up, Pinli, Valescu, and Bharadwaj headed for the Little Hopper, and the rest to the big one. I made sure Bharadwaj didn't have trouble with the ramp. We had a problem at the hatch of the Big Hopper where Mensa wanted to get in last and I wanted to get in last. As a compromise, I grabbed her around the waist and swung us both up into the hatch as the ramp pulled in after us. I set her on her feet and she said, "Thank you, Sec Unit," while the others stared. The helmet made it a little easier, but I was going to miss the comfortable buffer of the security cameras. I stayed on my feet, holding on to the overhead rail as the others got strapped in and Mensa went up to the pilot's seat. The Little Hopper took off first, and she gave it time to clear before we lifted off. We were operating on an assumption that since they, whoever they were, didn't know that we knew they were here, they would only send one ship. They would be expecting to catch us in the habitat and would probably come in prepared to destroy the hoppers to keep us there and then start on the people. So now that we knew they were coming from the south, we were free to pick a direction. The little hopper curved away to the west, and we followed. I just hoped their hopper didn't have a longer range on its scanners than ours did. I could see most of my drones on the hopper's feed, a bright dot forming on the three dimensions of the map. Group one was doing what I'd told them, gathering at a rendezvous point near the habitat. I had a calculation going, estimating the bogey's time of arrival. Right before we passed out of range, I told the drones to head northeast. Within moments, they dropped out of my range. They would follow their last instruction until they used up their power cells. I was hoping the other survey team would pick them up and follow. As soon as they had a visual on our habitat, they'd see the hoppers were gone and know we'd run away. They might stop to search the habitat, but they also might start looking for our escape route. It was impossible to guess which. But as we flew, curving away to the distant mountains, nothing followed us. Chapter 6. The humans had debated where to go, or debated it as much as possible while frantically calculating how much of what they might need to survive they could stuff into the hoppers. We knew the group who Rati was now calling Evil Survey had had access to Hub System and knew all the places we'd been to on assessments, so we had to go somewhere new. We went to a spot Oversay and Rati had proposed after a quick look at the map. It was a series of rocky hills in a thick tropical jungle, heavily occupied by a large range of fauna, enough to confuse life sign scans. Mensa and Pin-Lee lowered the hoppers down and eased them in among rocky cliffs. I sent up some drones so we could check the view from several angles, and we adjusted the hoppers' positions a few times. Then I set a perimeter. It didn't feel safe, and while there were a couple of survival hut kits in the hoppers, no one suggested putting them up. The humans would stay in the hoppers for now, communicating over the comm in the hoppers' limited feed. It wasn't going to be comfortable for the humans. Sanitary and hygiene facilities were small and limited, for one thing. But it would be more secure. Large and small fauna moved within range of our scanners, curious and potentially as dangerous as the people who wanted to kill my clients. I went out with some drones to do a little scouting and make sure there was no sign of anything big enough to, say, drag the little hopper off in the middle of the night. It gave me a chance to think, too. They knew about the governor module, or the lack of it, and even though Mensa had sworn she wouldn't report me, I had to think about what I wanted to do. It's wrong to think of a construct as half-bot, half-human. It makes us sound like the halves are discrete, like the bot half should want to obey orders and do its job, and the human half should want to protect itself and get the hell out of here. As opposed to the reality, which was that I was one whole, confused entity, with no idea what I wanted to do, what I should do, what I needed to do. I could leave them to cope on their own, I guess. I pictured doing that. Pictured Arata or Rati trapped by rogue sec units, and felt my insides twist. I hate having emotions about reality. I'd much rather have them about Sanctuary Moon. And what was I supposed to do? Go off on this empty planet and just live until my power cells died? If I was going to do that, I should have planned better and downloaded more entertainment media. I don't think I could store enough to last until my power cells wore out. My specs told me that would be hundreds of thousands of hours from now. And even to me, that sounded like a stupid thing to do. Oversay had set up some remote sensing equipment that would help warn us if anything tried to scan the area. As the humans climbed back into the two hoppers, I did a quick head count on the feed, making sure they were all still there. Mensa waited on the ramp, indicating she wanted to talk to me in private. I muted my feed in the comm, and she said, "I know you're more comfortable with keeping your helmet opaque, but the situation has changed. We need to see you." I didn't want to do it, now more than ever. They knew too much about me. But I needed them to trust me so I could keep them alive and keep doing my job, the good version of my job, not the half-assed version of my job that I'd been doing before things started trying to kill my clients. I still didn't want to do it. It's usually better if humans think of me as a robot, I said.
Maybe, under normal circumstances.
She was looking a little off to one side, not trying to make eye contact, which I appreciated.
But this situation is different. It would be better if they could think of you as a person who's trying to help, because that's how I think of you.
My insides melted. That's the only way I could describe it. After a minute, when I had my expression under control, I cleared the faceplate and had it and the helmet fold back into my armor. She said,
"Thank you."
And I followed her up into the hopper. The others were stowing the equipment and supplies that had gotten tossed in right before takeoff.
"If they restore the satellite function," Rati was saying,
"they won't chance that unless they get us," Arata said. Over the comm, Pinley sighed, angry and frustrated.
"If only we knew who these assholes were!"
"We need to talk about our next move." Mensa cut through all the chatter and took a seat in the back where she could see the whole compartment. The others sat down to face her, Rati turning one of the mobile seats around. I sat down on the bench against the starboard wall. The feed gave us a view of the little hopper's compartment, with the rest of the team sitting there, checking in to show they were listening. Mensa continued.
"There's another question I'd like the answer to."
Garothan looked at me expectantly. "She isn't talking about me, idiot." Rati nodded glumly.
"Why? Why are these people doing this? What is worth this to them?" "It has to have something to do with those blanked-out sections on the map," Oversay said.
She was calling up the stored images on her feed.
"There's obviously something there they want, that they didn't want us or Deltfall to find."
Mensa got up to pace.
"Did you turn up anything in the analysis?"
In the feed, Arata did a quick consult with Baradwaj and Valescu.
"Not yet, but we hadn't finished running all the tests. We hadn't turned up anything interesting so far."
"Do they really expect to get away with this?"
Rati turned to me like he was expecting an answer.
"Obviously they can hack the company's systems and the satellite, and they intend to put the blame on the SEC units, but the investigation will surely be thorough. They must know this."
There were too many factors in play, and too many things we didn't know. But I'm supposed to answer direct questions, and even without the governor module, old habits die hard. "They may believe the company and whoever your beneficiaries are won't look any further than the rogue SEC units. But they can't make two whole survey teams disappear unless their corporate or political entity doesn't care about them. Does Deltfall's care? Does yours?" That made them all stare at me for some reason. I had to turn and look out the port. I wanted to seal my helmet so badly my organic parts started to sweat, but I replayed the conversation with Mensa and managed not to. Valescu said,
"You don't know who we are? They didn't tell you?"
"There was an info packet in my initial download." I was still staring out at the heavy green tangle just past the rocks. I really didn't want to get into how little I paid attention to my job. "I didn't read it." Arata said gently,
"Why not?"
With all of them staring at me, I couldn't come up with a good lie. I didn't care. Garothan said,
"You expect us to believe that?"
I felt my face move, my jaw harden. Physical reactions I couldn't suppress. I'll try to be more accurate. I was indifferent and vaguely annoyed. "Do you believe that?" He said,
"Why don't you want us to look at you?"
My jaw was so tight it triggered a performance reliability alert in my feed. I said,
"You don't need to look at me. I'm not a sex bot."
Rati made a noise, half sigh, half snort of exasperation. It wasn't directed at me. He said,
"Garothan, I told you, it's shy."
Oversay added,
"It doesn't want to interact with humans, and why should it? You know how constructs are treated, especially in corporate political environments."
Garothan turned to me.
"So, you don't have a governor module, but we could punish you by looking at you?"
I looked at him.
Probably. Right up until I remember I have guns built into my arms. With an ironic edge to her voice, Mensa said, There, Garothan. It's threatened you, but I didn't resort to violence. Are you satisfied now? He sat back. For now. So he had been testing me. Wow, that was brave, and very, very stupid. To me, he said, I want to make certain you're not under any outside compulsion. That's enough. Arata got up and sat down next to me. I didn't want to push past her, so this pinned me in the corner. She said, You need to give it time. It's never interacted with humans as an openly free agent before now. This is a learning experience for all of us. The others nodded, like this made sense. Mensa sent me a private message through the feed. I hope you're all right. Because you need me. I don't know where that came from. All right, it came from me, but she was my client. I was a sec unit. There was no emotional contract between us. There was no rational reason for me to sound like a whiny human baby. Of course I need you. I've no experience in anything like this. None of us do. Sometimes humans can't help but let emotion bleed through into the feed. She was furious and frightened, not at me, at the people who would do this, kill like this, slaughter a whole survey team and leave the sec units to take the blame. She was struggling with her anger, though nothing showed on her face except calm concern. Through the feed, I felt her steel herself. You're the only one here who won't panic. The longer this situation goes on, the others... We have to stay together. Use our heads. That was absolutely true. And I could help just by being the sec unit. I was the one who was supposed to keep everybody safe. I panic all the time. You just can't see it, I told her. I added the text signifier for joke. She didn't answer, but she looked down, smiling to herself. Rati was saying, There's another question. Where are they? They came toward our habitat out of the south, but that doesn't tell us anything. I said, I left 3 drones at our habitat. They don't have scanning function with HUD system down, but the visual and audio recording will still work. They may pick up something that will answer your questions. I'd left 1 drone in a tree with a long-range view of the habitat, 1 tucked under the extendable roof over the entrance, and 1 inside the hub. Hidden under a console. They were on the next setting to inert, recording only, so when evil survey scanned, the drones would be buried in the ambient energy readings from the habitat's environmental system. I hadn't been able to connect the drones to sec system like I normally did, so it could store the data and filter out the boring parts. I knew evil survey would check for that, which was why I had dumped sec system storage into the big hopper system and then purged it. I also didn't want them knowing any more about me than they already did. Everyone was looking at me again, surprised that Murderbot had had a plan. Frankly, I didn't blame them. Our education modules didn't have anything like that in it, but this was another way all the thrillers and adventures I'd watched or read were finally starting to come in handy. Mensa lifted her brows in appreciation. She said, But you can't pick up their signal from here. No, I'll have to go back to get the data, I told her. Pin Lee leaned farther into the little hopper's camera range. I should be able to attach one of the small scanners to a drone. It'll be bulky and slow, but that would give us something other than just audio and visual. Mensa nodded. Do it. But remember our resources are limited. She tapped me in the feed so I'd know she was talking to me without her looking at me. How long do you think the other group will stay at our habitat? There was a groan from Valescu in the other hopper. All our samples. We have our data, but if they destroy our work? The others were agreeing with him, expressing frustration and worry. I tuned them out and answered Mensa. I don't think they'll stay long. There's nothing there they want. For just an instant, Mensa let her expressions show how worried she was. Because they want us. She said softly. She was absolutely right about that, too. Mensa set up a watch schedule, including time for me to go into standby and do a diagnostic and recharge cycle. I was also planning to use the time to watch some Sanctuary Moon and recharge my ability to cope with humans at close quarters without losing my mind. After the humans had settled down, either sleeping or deep in their own feeds, I walked the perimeter and checked the drones. The night was noisier than the day, but so far nothing bigger than insects and a few reptiles had come near the hoppers. When I cycled through the big hopper's hatch, Rati was the human on watch, sitting up in the cockpit and keeping an eye on its scanners. I moved up past the crew section and sat next to him. He nodded to me and said, "All's well?" "Yes." I didn't want to, but I had to ask. When I was looking for permanent storage for all my entertainment downloads, the info packet was one of the files I'd purged. I know, but I'm used to having all the extra storage on Sex System. Remembering what Mensa had said, I unsealed my helmet. It was easier with just Rati, both of us facing toward the console. "Why did everyone think it was so strange that I asked if your political entity would miss you?" Rati smiled at the console. "Because Dr. Mensa is our political entity." He made a little gesture, turning his hand palm up. "We're from Preservation Alliance, one of the non-corporate system entities. Dr. Mensa is the current admin director on the steering committee. It's an elected position with a limited term. But one of the principles of our home is that our admins must also continue their regular work, whatever it is. Her regular work required this survey, so here she is, and here we are." Yeah, I felt a little stupid. I was still processing it when he said, "You know, in preservation-controlled territory, bots are considered full citizens. A construct would fall under the same category." He said this in the tone of giving me a hint. "Whatever. Bots who are full citizens still have to have a human or augmented human guardian appointed, usually their employer. I'd seen it on the news feeds. And the entertainment feed, where the bots were all happy servants or were secretly in love with their guardians. If it showed the bots hanging out watching the entertainment feed all through the day cycle with no one trying to make them talk about their feelings, I would have been a lot more interested. But the company knows who she is." Rati sighed. "Oh, yes, they know. You would not believe what we had to pay to guarantee the bond on the survey. These corporate arseholes are robbers." "It meant if we ever managed to launch the beacon, the company wouldn't screw around. The transport would get here fast. No bribe from evil survey could stop it. They might even send a faster security ship to check out the problem before the transport could arrive. The bond on a political leader was high, but the payout the company would have to make if something happened to her was off the chart. The huge payout, being humiliated in front of the other bond companies and in the news feeds?" I leaned back in my seat and sealed my helmet to think about it. "We didn't know who Evil Survey was, who we were dealing with, but I bet that they didn't either. Mensa's status was only in the security info packet stored on Sex System, which they had never gotten access to. The dueling investigations, if something happened to us, were bound to be thorough, as the company would be desperate for something to blame it on, and the beneficiaries would be desperate to blame it on the company. Neither would be fooled long by the rogue sec unit setup. I didn't see how we could use it. Not right now, anyway. It didn't comfort me. And I'm pretty sure it wouldn't comfort the humans to know the stupid company would avenge them if, or when, they all got murdered." So, mid-afternoon the next day, I got ready to take the little hopper back within range of the habitat so I could hopefully pick up intel from the drones. I wanted to go alone, but since nobody ever listens to me, Mensa, Pinley, and Rati were going too. I was depressed this morning. I tried watching some new serials last night, and even they couldn't distract me. Reality was too intrusive. It was hard not to think about how everything was going to go wrong, and they were all going to die, and I was going to get blasted to pieces or get another governor module stuck in me. Garathan walked up to me while I was doing the pre-flight and said, "I'm coming with you." That was about all I needed right now. I finished the diagnostic on the power cells. "I thought you were satisfied." It took him a minute. "What I said last night, yes. I remember every word ever said to me." That was a lie. Who would want that? Most of it I delete from permanent memory. He didn't say anything. On the feed, Mensa told me that I didn't have to take him if I didn't want to, or if I thought it would compromise team security. I knew Garathan was testing me again, but if something went wrong and he got killed, I wouldn't mind as much as I would if it was one of the others. I wished Mensa, Rati, and Pin Lee weren't coming. I didn't want to risk them. And on the long trip, Rati might be tempted to try to make me talk about my feelings. I told Mensa it was fine, and we got ready to lift off. I wanted a long time to circle west, so if Evil Survey picked us up, they wouldn't be able to extrapolate the human's location from my course. By the time I was in position for the approach to the habitat, the light was failing. When we got to the target zone, it would be full dark. The humans hadn't gotten a lot of sleep last night, from the crowding and the strong possibility of dying. Mensa, Rati, and Pin Lee had been too tired to talk much and had fallen asleep. Garathan was sitting in the co-pilot seat and hadn't said a word the whole time. We were flying in dark mode, with no lights, no transmissions. I was plugged into the little hopper's internal limited feed so I could watch the scans carefully. Garathan was aware of the feed through his implant, I could feel him in there, but wasn't using it except to keep track of where we were. When he said, "I have a question," I flinched. The silence up to this point had lulled me into a false sense of security. I didn't look at him, though I knew through the feed that he was looking at me. I hadn't closed my helmet. I didn't feel like hiding from him. After a moment, I realized he was waiting for my permission. That was weirdly new. It was tempting to ignore him, but I was wondering what the test would be this time. Something he didn't want the others to hear? I said, "Go ahead." He said, "Did they punish you for the deaths of the mining team?" It wasn't completely a surprise. I think they all wanted to ask about it, but maybe he was the only one abrasive enough, or brave enough. It's one thing to poke a murder bot with a governor module. Poking a rogue murder bot is a whole different proposition. I said, "No, not like you're thinking. Not the way a human would be punished. They shut me down for a while and then brought me back online at intervals." He hesitated. "You weren't aware of it?" Yeah, that would be the easy way out, wouldn't it? The organic parts mostly sleep, but not always. You know something's happening. They were trying to purge my memory. We're too expensive to destroy. He looked out the port again. We were flying low over trees, and I had a lot of my attention on the terrain sensors. I felt the brush of Mensa's awareness in the feed. She must have woken when Garathan spoke. He finally said, "You don't blame humans for what you were forced to do, for what happened to you?" "This is why I'm glad I'm not human. They come up with stuff like this." I said, "No, that's a human thing to do. Constructs aren't that stupid." What was I supposed to do? Kill all humans because the ones in charge of constructs in the company were callous? Granted, I liked the imaginary people on the entertainment feed way more than I liked real ones, but you can't have one without the other. The others started to stir, waking and sitting up, and he didn't ask me anything else. By the time we got within range, it was a cloudless night with the ring glowing in the sky like a ribbon. I had already dropped speed, and we were moving slowly over the sparse trees decorating the hills at the edge of the habitat's plain. I had been waiting for the drones to ping me, which they would if this had worked and Evil Survey hadn't found them. When I felt that first cautious touch on my feed, I stopped the hopper and dropped it down below the tree line. I landed on a hillside, the hopper's pads extending to compensate. The humans were waiting, nervy and impatient, but no one spoke. You couldn't see anything from here except the next hill and a lot of tree trunks. All three drones were still active. I answered the pings, trying to keep my transmission as quick as possible. After a tense moment, the downloads started. I could tell from the timestamps that, with nobody there to instruct them not to, the drones had recorded everything from the moment I'd deployed them to now. Even though the part we were most interested in would be near the beginning, that was a lot of data. I didn't want to stay here long enough to parse it myself, so I pushed half of it into the feed for Garothan. Again, he didn't say anything, just turned in his chair to lie back, close his eyes, and start reviewing it. I checked the drone stationed outside in the tree first, running its video at high speed until I found the moment where it had caught a good image of the evil survey craft. It was a big hopper, a newer model than ours, nothing about it to cause anybody any pause. It circled the habitat a few times, probably scanning, and then landed on our empty pad. They must know we were gone, with no aircraft on the pad and no answer on their comm, so they didn't bother to pretend to be here to borrow some tools or exchange site data. 5 sec units piled out of the cargo pods, all armed with the big projectile weapons assigned to protect survey teams on planets with hazardous fauna, like this one. From the pattern on their armor chest plates, 2 were the surviving Deltfall units. They must have been put into their cubicles after we escaped the Deltfall habitat. 3 were Evil Survey, which had a square gray logo. I focused in on it and sent it to the others. "Gray, Chris," Pinley read aloud. "Ever heard of it?" Rati said, and the others said no. All 5 sec units would have the combat override modules installed. They started toward the habitat, and 5 humans, anonymous in their color-coded field suits, climbed out of the hopper and followed. They were all armed, too, with the hand weapons the company provided that were only supposed to be used for fauna-related emergencies. I focused as far in on the humans as the image quality would allow. They spent a lot of time scanning and checking for traps, which made me even more glad I hadn't wasted time setting any. But there was something about them that made me think I wasn't looking at professionals. They weren't soldiers any more than I was. Their sec units weren't combat units, just regular security rented from the company. That was a relief. At least I wasn't the only one who didn't know what I was doing. Finally, I watched them enter the habitat, leaving 2 sec units outside to guard their hopper. I tagged the section, passed it to Mensa and the others for review, and then kept watching. Garothan sat up suddenly and muttered a curse in a language I didn't know. I noted it to look up later on the big hopper's language center, then forgot about it when he said, "We have a problem." I put my part of the drone's download on pause and looked at the section he had just tagged. It was from the drone hidden in the hub. The visual was a blurred image of a curved support strut, but the audio was a human voice saying, "You knew we were coming. So I assume you have some way to watch us while we're here." The voice spoke standard lexicon with a flat accent. "We've destroyed your beacon. Come to these coordinates." She spoke a set of longitude and latitude numbers that the little hopper helpfully mapped for me and a timestamp. "At this time, and we can come to some arrangement. This doesn't have to end in violence. We're happy to pay you off or whatever you want." There was nothing else, steps fading until the door slid shut. Garothan, Pin Lee, and Rati all started to speak at once. Mensa said, "Quiet." They shut up. "Sec unit, your opinion." Fortunately, I had one now. Up to the point where we'd gotten the drone download, my opinion had been mostly, "Oh, shit." I said, "They have nothing to lose. If we come to this rendezvous, they can kill us and stop worrying about us. If we don't, they have until the end of project date to search for us." Garothan was reviewing the landing video now. He said, "Another indication it isn't the company. They obviously don't want to chase us until the end of project date." I said, "I told you it wasn't the company." Mensa interrupted Garothan before he could respond.
They think we know why they're here. Why they're doing this.
They're wrong, Rati said, frustrated. Mensa's brow furrowed as she picked apart the problem for the other humans.
But why do they think that?
It must be because they know we went to one of the unmapped regions. That means the data we collected must have the answer. Pinley nodded.
So the others may know by now.
It gives us leverage, Mensa said thoughtfully.
But what can we do with it?
And then I had a great idea. Chapter 7. So at the appointed time the next day, Mensa and I were flying toward the rendezvous point. Garofin and Pin-Li had taken one of my drones and rebuilt it with a limited scanning attachment. Limited because the drone was too small for most of the components a longer and wider range scanner would need. Last night I had sent it into upper atmosphere to give us a view of the site. The location was near their survey base, which was only about 2 kilos away, a habitat similar to Delt Falls. By the size of their habitat and the number of sec units, including the one Mensa had taken out with a mining drill, they had between 30 and 40 team members. They were obviously very confident, but then they'd had access to our hub, and they knew they were dealing with a small group of scientists and researchers and one messed-up second-hand sec unit. I just hoped they didn't realize how messed up I actually was. When the hopper picked up the first blip of scanner contact, Mensa hit the comm immediately. Graycris, be advised that my party has secured evidence of your activities on this planet and hidden it in various places where it will transmit to the pickup ship whenever it arrives. She let that sink in for 3 seconds, then added, "You know we found the missing map sections." There was a long pause. I was slowing us down, scanning for incoming weapons, even though the chances were good they didn't have any. The comm channel came alive, and a voice said, "We can discuss our situation. An arrangement can be made." There was so much scanning and anti-scanning going on, the voice was made of static. It was creepy. "Land your vehicle and we can discuss it." Mensa gave it a minute, as if she was thinking it over, then answered, "I'll send our sec unit to speak to you." She cut the comm off. As we got closer, we had a visual on the site. It was a low plateau, surrounded by trees. Their habitat was visible to the west. Because the trees encroached on their campsite, their domes and vehicle landing pad were elevated on wide platforms. The company required this as a security feature if you wanted your base to be anywhere without open terrain around it. It cost extra, and if you didn't want it, it cost even more to guarantee your bond. It was one of the reasons I thought my great idea would work. In the open area on the plateau were 7 figures, 4 sec units and 3 humans in the color-coded enviro suits, blue, green, and yellow. It meant they had 1 sec unit and probably 27-plus humans back at their habitat, if they had followed the rule of 1 rental sec unit per 10 humans. I sat us down below the plateau, on a relatively flat rock, the view blocked by brush and trees. I put the pilot's console on standby and looked at Mensa. She pressed her lips together like she wanted to say something and was repressing the urge. Then she nodded firmly and said, "Good luck." I felt like I should say something to her, and didn't know what, and just stared at her awkwardly for a few seconds. Then I sealed up my helmet and got out of the hopper as fast as I could. I went through the trees, listening for that 5th sec unit just in case it was hiding somewhere waiting for me, but there was no sound of movement in the undergrowth. I came out of cover and climbed the rocky slope to the plateau, then walked toward the other group, listening to the crackle on my comm. They were going to let me get close, which was a relief. I'd hate to be wrong about this. It would make me feel pretty stupid. I stopped several meters away, opened the channel, and said, "This is the sec unit assigned to the Preservation Ox survey team.
I was sent to speak to you about an arrangement.
I felt the pulse then, a signal bundle designed to take over my governor module and freeze it, and freeze me. The idea was obviously to immobilize me, then insert the combat override module into my data port again. That was why they had had to arrange the meeting so close to their hub. They had needed the equipment there to be able to do this. It wasn't something they could send through the feed. So it's a good thing my governor module wasn't working, and all I felt was a mild tickle. One of them started toward me. I said, "I assume you're about to try to install another combat override module and send me back to kill them." I opened my gun ports and expanded the weapons in my arms, then folded them back in. I don't recommend that course of action. The SEC units went into alert mode. The human who had started forward froze, then backed away. The body language of the others was flustered, startled. I could tell from the faint comm static that they were talking to each other on their own system. I said, "Anyone want to comment on that?" That got their attention. There was no reply. Not a surprise. The only people I've run into who actually want to get into conversations with SEC units are my weird humans. I said, "I have an alternate solution to both our problems." The one in the blue enviro suit said, "You have a solution." The voice was the same one who had made the offer in our hub. It was also very skeptical, which you can imagine. To them, talking to me was like talking to a hopper or a piece of mining equipment. I said, "You weren't the first to hack Preservation Ox's hub system." She had opened their comm channel to talk to me, and I heard one of the others whisper, "It's a trick. One of the surveyors is telling it what to say." I said, "Your scans should show I've cut my comm." This was the point where I had to say it. It was still hard, even though I knew I didn't have a choice, even though it was part of my own stupid plan. I don't have a working governor module. That over, I was glad to get back to the lying part. They don't know that. I'm amenable to a compromise that benefits you as well as me. The blue leader said, "Are they telling the truth about knowing why we're here?" That was still annoying, even though I knew we had allowed plenty of time for this part. "You used combat override modules to make the Deltfall SEC units behave like rogues. If you think a real rogue SEC unit still has to answer your questions, the next few minutes are going to be an education for you." The blue leader shut me out of their comm channel. There was a long silence while they talked it over. Then she came back on and said, "What compromise?" "I can give you information you desperately need. In exchange, you take me onto the pickup ship with you, but list me as destroyed inventory. That would mean nobody from the company would be expecting